ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 51 वर्सेस 57-63. The few verses do not have purport, so I'll just read the translation and then we'll recite the 63rd verse. Verse number 57. Muchukunda is speaking this verse. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My six enemies are never satiated and I can find no peace. Therefore, O giver of shelter, O Supreme Soul, please protect me. O Lord, in the midst of danger, I have by good fortune approached your lotus feet, which are truth and which does make one fearless and free of sorrow. Text 58. The Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. Understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. The minds of non-devotees who engage in such practices as pranayama are not fully cleansed of material desires. Thus, O King, material desires are again seen to arise in their minds. Wander this earth at will, with your mind fixed on me. May you always possess such unfailing devotion for me. Because you followed the principles of a kshatriya, you kill living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. Now we come to this verse number 63, which we'll recite now. Janmani anantare rajan sarvabhuta surhittamaha bhutva dvijavarastvam vai माम उपेश्यसि केवलम्। जन्मनि अनन्तरे राजन् सर्वभूतासुहृत्तमः भूत्वा द्विजावरस्त्वं वै माम उपेश्यसि केवलम्। जन्मनि अनन्तरे राजन् सर्वभूतासुहृत्तमः भूत्वा द्विजावरस्त्वं वै माम उपेश्यसि केवलम्। Mataji's Janmani Anantare Rajan Janmani in the birth Anantare immediately following Rajan O King, Sarva of all, Bhuta, living beings, Suhrit Tamaha, a supreme well-wisher, Bhutva, becoming, Dvijavaraha, an excellent Brahmana, Tvam, you, Vai, indeed, Mam, to me, Upaishyasi, will come, Kevalam, exclusively. Translation and purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O King, in your very next life, you will become an excellent Brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. Purport. Sri Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richati. A person attains peace by understanding me to be the well-wishing friend of all living beings. Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. This is the real purport of the Krishna consciousness movement. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 51st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Deliverance of Muchukunda. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyate Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I seek blessings of all the devotees. Before I start, I feel very unqualified and very uncomfortable in any sort of public speaking. Somehow for last some years I've been trying to do some teaching, and in teaching we do some interactive discussions. So probably although it is unusual for a Bhagavatam class, some interaction may come up due to my conditioning, so please tolerate. There is though one advantage of this interaction, and there is one very nice anecdote which I read in respect to a church. I read one pastime which I tailor made for our temple setup. So once our, you can say, Gopal Fund School or Sunday Fund School teacher, they asked a group of small children why we should not make noise during the Bhagavatam class. So one intelligent young girl replied, because the devotees are sleeping. So probably this interaction may be beneficial for some and probably troublesome for some. Please tolerate. So here we have a wonderful pastime, and this dialogue is going on between Lord Mukunda and Muchukunda. This is the end of this chapter now. Since last 14 or 15 verses, King Muchukunda has been offering very beautiful prayers full of his deep realizations as a king and the long time he has spent on this earth. So, since there are some 6-7 verses, I thought we'll go one by one from the translations and discuss something on them. This text 57 says, translation says, this Muchukunda is speaking this verse, text 57. For so long I have been pained by troubles in this world and have been burning with lamentation. My 6 enemies are never satiated and I can find no peace. So I was thinking, what are these 6 enemies Muchukunda is referring to? My 6 enemies are never satiated and I can find no peace. What can be these 6 enemies? Jaya, Panch Pandapuru, thank you. Right. 6 enemies here is our 5 senses and mind. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. How mind is also one of the senses, sense, and we have 6 senses. So they are always demanding, they are never satiated, and hence a person can find no peace. Then from 58 verse onwards till the end, next 6 verses, Lord Krishna is speaking now to Muchukunda. 58 verse, 59th verse, I'll read the translation. Supreme Lord said, O Emperor, great ruler, your mind is pure and potent. Though I enticed you with benedictions, your mind was not overcome by material desires. Understand that I enticed you with benedictions just to prove that you would not be deceived. The intelligence of my unalloyed devotees is never diverted by material blessings. So here Lord Krishna is telling Muchukunda how he offered any benediction to Muchukunda, but then Muchukunda did not ask for any material benediction. I was thinking our Shastras are full of this concept that Lord offers benedictions, but devotees do not accept those benedictions. So can any devotee give some examples from the Shastras where Lord offered benediction to the devotee, but devotee did not accept that benediction? Sorry, Prabhu. Prahlad Maharaj, yes, good. Prahlad Maharaj is one example. Any other? Sorry? Who said that? Dhruv Maharaj? Yes, Prabhu. Bhakt Kanapa, okay. Yes. Prithu Maharaj is there. So many pastimes are there. I was thinking in Chaitanya Charitamrita, during Mahaprakash Leela, Lord offered so many benedictions to so many devotees, tried to induce them with material blessings. But all the devotees rejected those material benedictions. Especially in case of Sridhar Kolvesha, who was a poor banana seller, very, very poor person, a vendor in the street. Lord was very pleased and he said, ask any benediction from me. I can give you any sort of wealth, any kingdom, anything. But Sridhar Kolvesha is not ready to accept anything. Lord was getting desperate actually. Please ask, I want to give you something, some benediction. But Sridhar Kolvesha said, I am satisfied, O Lord. I have devotion to you. I see you. That is all what I need. Why do I need any other benedictions? Lord was really, really desperate. He said, no, for my pleasure you ask benediction. Okay, you don't need anything, at least you want to please me, ask some benediction from me so that I have the satisfaction of blessing you. Then finally Sridhar said, okay, if you want to give me blessing, then give me a blessing that I may always keep seeing you this form of Krishna. We have this painting here of Sridhar Kolvesha. May I always see this beautiful form of Krishna, Nimai, coming and arguing with me, stealing my banana leaves, like that. Means nothing new he asked. Whatever the Lord was doing, let him continue that. Actually, His Holiness Devamrit Swami Maharaj, some few days back, he was giving class on this chapter. So he was very nicely bringing out this point of benedictions. He was telling how Lord giving benedictions to the devotees is like giving them a test. And the purpose is not to fail the devotees in the test. Purpose is to glorify the devotees through that test. We know Srila Prabhupada told that Lord Krishna tested him twice. Once he took away everything, and once he gave him so much opulence he gave him. And we have heard that both these type of tests are difficult when everything is taken away from us or too much is given to us, too much opulence is given to us. Both the tests are difficult. But then we have heard that out of these two, the more difficult one is when there is much given to us, when there is more opulence given to us, when everything is positive in our life. Then it is said that is a more difficult test than when everything is taken away from us. Especially those who are not into spiritual life, this can be seen more easily. Recently I came across an article where it showed how some of the topmost people of the world, most famous, most rich people of this world, how they ruined their entire career, entire success, entire fame, whatever they were having. They just ruined it because they got carried away by this opulence. So much fame they had, but because they were not spiritually inclined, spiritually grounded on the spiritual principles, it actually ended the other way around. And I like this theme of testing, like we come across tests in our spiritual life, especially because as a teacher also we can relate. Many times we take tests, regular tests and everything, so we can relate how we also in our spiritual life come across tests every now and then. Some small or big tests we have to face, sometimes some surprise tests are there in our lives. But one thing which is very hope-giving, one thing which I like a lot is the fact that which we heard from seniors, that Lord does not test us beyond our capacity. This is like a statement made by pure devotees of the Lord. They say Lord does not test us beyond our capacity. So this is like a very hope-giving fact for us, ki whatever situation we are in, whatever difficulties we may be undergoing, but then we can have solace that, okay, there is, this situation is probably, I can handle this, this is not beyond my capacity. Lord is not like some sadistic teacher who will prepare probably a question paper much difficult for than the level of the students. Though at the same time devotees tell the test will be beyond within our capacity, but sometimes the Lord may stretch us to our very limit. While testing us, He may stretch us to the very limit. Radha Gopinath Prabhu was once telling a very nice analysis how Lord will not test us like Prahlad Maharaj. He was saying Prahlad Maharaj was put in burning oil, and he was saying for us, we cannot tolerate even little bit extra oil in our prasad, especially for those who eat non-spicy prasad. So he was saying Lord will not test us like Prahlad Maharaj or some pure devotees. It's according to our capacity. At the same time, I heard one lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. His lecture is titled Power of Maya. In 2000, I think Maharaj gave, he was telling, although Krishna does not test us beyond our capacity, but we have to be aware that we will keep getting little tougher tests each time now. He was telling, suppose if we pass class 8th standard, if we pass now, then we go to 9th standard. So we can expect in the 9th standard, the syllabus will be a little more tough, more advanced than in the 8th standard. Test will be a little more tough in the 9th standard. So each time we pass one test, we can expect ki, okay, the next time test will be a little more tough, but within our capacity, not beyond our capacity, but the test will keep increasing, otherwise we will not progress actually. The test one after another do not keep increasing the syllabus, the standard, then we do not progress. And then Maharaj was telling, this is not a painful exercise, it is a very nice Krishna consciousness exercise. We keep becoming more and more sincere as we keep getting more and more difficult tests. We keep becoming more and more sincere and more surrendered to the Lord, taking shelter of the process. And then in this way we become more happy in Krishna consciousness. Also in the same lecture, Radhanath Maharaj was telling that if we act in Krishna consciousness way in a testing situation, then we make more spiritual advancement than at any other time. So he was telling, in a way the testing situation is a very good, you know, platform for us to make spiritual advancement. In a testing situation, if we act in a Krishna conscious proper way, then we can make a lot of advancement actually, than we can make at any other time. Just as His Holiness Devamrut Swami Maharaj was telling how these benedictions or these tests by the Lord are not meant to fail the devotee but to glorify the devotee, I just recollected one contemporary example on this theme in the case of devotees. I heard this from His Grace Kaustubh Prabhu, one of the senior disciples of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, right here in our this temple hall. Some things might be here and there in this, in the details of this pastime, but the essence is something what I'm sharing. He was telling, we all know His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was a very, very, very scholarly person, very intelligent, very wise, very intellectual, and during his later part of his Krishna conscious life, he was pursuing a PhD actually from a university in America to reach out to more secular people, actually to the educational class, to the learned professors, scholars. He was pursuing a PhD in this philosophy and how it is related to our life. So he spent many years under a professor, he was doing that PhD, and finally towards the end of that PhD, so there was a, you can say, sort of a review of his thesis. Now he has to present whatever he has researched on to a group of scholars, some 4 or 5 scholars are there, and he has to present his research to them. And among them, among 4 or 5 of them, one was his guide under whom he was pursuing the PhD. So he presents his paper, his research about philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, how to see that in contemporary educational life, in modern life. And then there's a session for question answers. Strange enough, his own guide under whom he was doing, whom he had very good relation, his guide was very happy with his thesis, with his research, and his own guide puts up a very difficult question to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, which is like which can unnerve, which can totally shake any person actually. What is this? In front of other scholars, and it can be very crucial actually for his PhD. He raises a question, okay, you are speaking this thing, so do I have to be a devotee to understand all this? So what will be our answer? Here is a group of secular professors, scholars, under whom we are presenting our PhD thesis, and they put up a question, do I have to be a devotee to understand all this? How will we answer that question? Actually, either answer you give is very difficult, because straight away if you say no, we don't have to be devotee, then it's like we are not supporting a very foundational theme of our philosophy, Gita Krishna says only my devotee can understand this and like that. It's a major principle that devotees can understand this. But at the same time, if he says yes, only devotees can understand this, then his whole purpose of presenting the thing to secular audience, yeah, it is applicable, relevant to everyone, then that is defeated. If he says no, non-devotees cannot understand this, cannot accept this. So very difficult, tricky question his professor put, but his professor had faith on Tamalakrishna Maharaj that how intelligent and brilliant he is, he'll be able to handle this, and ultimately it will be his glorification. So rightly so, His Holiness Tamalakrishna Maharaj gave a very brilliant reply. His professor, his guide asked, do I have to be a devotee to understand this? Maharaj replied, said, no, because you have me as your friend. So that way he balanced both the things actually. He did not totally neglect that non-devotees cannot understand this. But at the same time, there is a balancing factor. You can understand this given that you understand it through some devotee. Somebody is your friend who can guide you properly in this philosophy. So I read one quote, within every adversity is an opportunity, universe is a university. This is one article by His Grace Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. In every adversity there is an opportunity, and universe is like a university. We can keep on learning many things in this. And coming to this theme of benedictions, Lord Krishna giving Muchukunda benediction, I was thinking nowadays we are reciting Damodar Ashtakam. In this one entire verse, the fourth verse is about this benediction, varam. The author prays, varam devam moksham na moksham vadimva na cha anyam vrineham vareshadapiha. The devotee prays, Lord, I do not want liberation or even the highest conception of liberation. Moksha vadim means the highest conception of liberation, that is eternal life in Vaikuntha, or even any other benediction. And from he is asking from Vareshad, from Lord who can bestow any benediction. Isha means the Lord, Varam is benediction, Vareshad. So he is saying, O Lord who can bestow any benediction, I do not ask for any benediction from you of even liberation or anything further. I just desire that you are this form of Bal Gopal of Lord Damodar, be ever be present in my mind. And another aspect related to this our Damodar Ashtakam is this aspect of again this blessings and mercy. Now among the many things which our acharyas tell, which this Damodar Leela represents, we see always Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Lord Krishna and always the rope was two fingers too short. And our acharyas tell there are many things which these two fingers can represent. Jiva Goswami tells it can represent, it is like just an indicative. We say, I'll come after 2 minutes. It's just like indicative. And other devotee says, what does those 2 minutes mean? 2 minutes of Brahmaji, you are so late. It's just like indicative thing, 2 minutes. Or somebody says, he ate 5-6 chapatis. So it's not exactly 5-6, it's approximate number. So this two fingers too short is like approximate indicative thing. Other explanation they give is, this two means two personalities will be delivered. Nal Kuvar and Manigrim will be delivered. Another thing is two Shaktis of Krishna were not allowing him to get bound. All pervasive and all powerful, two Shaktis. But the most famous one which the Acharyas tell, which these two fingers represent, is a Sadhaka's endeavor and Lord's mercy. This is the most popular explanation given of these two fingers. So there is that famous quote, endeavor as if everything depends upon you and pray as if everything depends on the Lord's blessings. So this balances the concept of our endeavor and Lord's blessings, mercy. Srila Prabhupada in one lecture was mentioning how Krishna will see, just see this devotee, so many problems, still he is trying sincerely, he is not giving up. So then Krishna will bestow his mercy, seeing our endeavor. I read one very nice quote on this theme, that our greatest glory is not in never failing, never falling, but in rising every time we fall. And also I was reflecting that we have lot of books by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. We have a series of books. Some Maharaj has written himself, some have been compiled from his talks. And we have his reflections on sacred teachings like Ishopanishad and here Harinam Chintamani. Here some leadership books are there. But then his most popular series is the series of Spiritual Warrior and Beggar. These two series are very popular, some 4 or 5 books in each series is there. So I was thinking how these two series represent this concept of endeavor and mercy. The Spiritual Warrior series represents our endeavor, sadhaka's endeavor. And the Beggar series represents mercy factor, Lord Krishna's mercy. Spiritual Warrior we have in the cover page, Arjuna, very strong Kshatriya warrior, endeavoring to pierce the eye of the fish by looking in the water. His own determination, strength, his own sadhana. But in the Beggar series we have just two hands praying like this, begging for mercy. So there is a nice balance of our endeavor and Lord Krishna's mercy there. Okay, now I'll read the next translation in this series of 5-6 verses. Verse number 62. When I was reading this, I got really, actually I was surprised, how come this is, Krishna is saying this? A question came to my mind, and let's see if you can get that question. This is translation I'll read of verse number 62 translation. Lord Krishna is telling to Muchukunda, because you followed the principles of a Kshatriya, you killed living beings while hunting and performing other duties. You must vanquish the sins thus incurred by carefully executing penances while remaining surrendered to me. So does any question come up in our mind by reading this translation? Yes, Prem Krishna Prabhu? Yeah, exactly. Means one of the major themes of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna is telling Arjuna, if you perform your prescribed duty of a Kshatriya on dharmic principles, you fight this war, you will not incur sin. It's a major theme going through Bhagavad Gita. And I was surprised, what is this Krishna telling here? This totally different thing. I was very confused, how will I address this question now? But fortunately our acharyas come to our rescue. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses this exactly this point, why Krishna is telling this to Muchukunda. Muchukunda did a very great service to demigods by actually in fact becoming detached from his family, kingdom and going and fighting over there for so many years. So our Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad tells why Krishna told this verse. What happened is this pastime is happening now towards the end of Dwapar Yuga now. And we know Lord Muchukunda, he is there since many many yugas before, he was lying in the cave. So the fact is, his size, his looks was much much different than those contemporaries there at the time of end of Dwapar Yuga, Lord Krishna and all his associates. Lord Krishna, Muchukunda was very very tall, very stout and huge. So now Kalyavan is killed and Lord Krishna is thinking, what now if I'll take him with me out of the cave now to Dwarka, what will all other people think? It will be a total mismatch and it doesn't go well. And furthermore, now soon after this, now Krishna will do some more pastimes of running away from Jarasandha, then kidnapping Rukmani and different rasas Krishna wants to experience. But if Muchukunda is there along with, he'll kill them like mosquitoes. Vishnu Chaturvedi Thakur uses this word mosquitoes. He said Muchukunda will kill all of them like mosquitoes. For these few reasons, Krishna thinks, okay, let me make up some excuse, and he spoke this verse. Okay, because as a Kshatriya, you have done some sins, so you go and atone for them. He's just trying to send him away. Just to mislead Muchukunda. And again from this, I got one theme which somehow I like to think over that sometimes. Sometimes I do some research on that. just for my own rasa, there is no shastric background to this. I was thinking, are there other such verses in Gita where Krishna speaks something, but then he himself is not able to follow that, what he spoke in Gita, or he does something else? So I'm still wanting to do more research on this, but if anybody of you can share, something comes to your mind where Krishna spoke something in Bhagavad Gita, but then he himself could not follow that or did something else. This is one typical example which we saw in this case. To Arjuna, he was telling you will not incur any sin, and to Muchukunda, he is telling you will incur sin. You have incurred sin, so please go and atone for that. So, any other such concept comes from Bhagavad Gita? Yes. So, how he does not follow that? Yeah. Gopinachand Prabhu gave a very nice example. Krishna tells emphatically in Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat evetoro jana. Whatever a great man does, common men follow that. But then he himself, when he is in Vrindavan, he is doing so many other things which common men cannot follow actually. Okay, any other such thing? Any other such things come to your mind from Gita? One very famous one is Yayathamam Prapadyante. Lord Krishna tells very emphatically in 4.11, as one surrenders to me, I reciprocate accordingly. So something comes to your mind for this, where Krishna failed in this? With the gopis, Krishna failed. Although in Gita he said, as you surrender, I'll reciprocate. But with gopis, he could not reciprocate actually. Gopis, he told, actually, na pariyeham. His Holiness Shivaram Maharaj has written one entire book which is titled Na Pariyeham, that I cannot repay you, I cannot reciprocate with you. He failed. He said, gopis, your love and your surrender is so high, I cannot reciprocate with that. Krishna failed what he spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Others? I am thinking then in 18th chapter, Krishna tells about qualities of Kshatriya. Heroism, determination, courage in battle, all these things he is telling, by which the Kshatriyas rule. And now Krishna is playing the role of a Kshatriya, son of Vasudev. But just after this, first he ran from Kalyavan. And after coming out from cave, now he'll run away from Jarasandha, running away from battlefield. Then there are others in Gita where he tells, in 16th chapter, divine and demoniac, qualities of divine are Ahimsa, Satyam, Akrodas, they speak truth. But then just after speaking this Gita, few days later he'll tell Yudhishthira to tell a lie when he tells about Ashwathama pastime. In 10th canto again in the Govardhan pastime, we see in 3rd chapter Krishna tells, when he is describing the cycle of sacrifice, he tells Annad Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanyad Ansambhava Yajnyad Bhavati Parjanyo. He tells by Yajna rains come. But then before the Govardhan pastime, when Nanda Maharaj and others are worshipping Govardhan Hill, when they are worshipping Indra, Lord Indra, he tells totally different philosophy. Completely other than Gita, he tells, why you need to do this Yajna to Indra? We are anyway getting rains. See, oceans, what do? They get so much rains. So why you are doing Yajna? So many times Krishna does this. But we know from ultimate level, it's not something untruthfulness or not following Gita. It's just whatever Krishna does is out of his infinite mercy for all living beings and to probably establish a higher dharma, and especially to increase his rasa between his devotees, loving exchanges between his devotees. But another interesting thing in this context is when Krishna probably sometimes does not follow what he speaks in Gita is, but if something his pure devotees speak, then Krishna will do anything to make it sure that that comes true. My pure devotee has spoken this. He himself will break something, not follow something. But if pure devotee speaks something, then he will make sure that it comes true. And that's why when he is glorifying the bhakti in 9th chapter of Gita, most confidential knowledge, when he wants to make an emphatic point how Krishna is so indebted to his devotees and so he takes so much care of his pure devotees, he wants to say that my devotee will never perish. So then he himself does not make that statement. He tells Arjuna, you make that statement because people know that people may condemn me in the future that you do not follow Gita, you sometimes break. So while making this emphatic point of he always protecting his devotees, he tells Arjuna, you make this promise that my devotee will never perish. Now since a pure devotee, Arjuna is making that promise, Krishna will do anything to make that promise come true. And also we have that very beautiful pastime of Bhishma Dev, how he interacted to keep Bhishma's vow true, although he himself broke his own vow of not lifting a weapon in the Mahabharata war. Now we come to this 63rd verse, today's verse. Lord Krishna, this chapter is ending with this. Lord Krishna is telling Muchukunda, O King, in your very next life you will become an excellent Brahmana, the greatest well-wisher of all creatures, and certainly come to me alone. So this second line, Sarvabhut Surhittamaha, Sarvabhut Surhittama, I was thinking exactly the same line comes in the Bhagavad Gita famous verse, Bhoktaram Yagyatapsam Sarvalokam Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. So same words are there, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam, and which is quoted in the purport also, this verse. So we know in Sanskrit language, the richness of Sanskrit language is so much that just for this one English word called friend, we have so many words. We have Sakha, Bandhu, Mitra, and the best is said to be Suhrit, which is there in that Gita verse, Suhritam, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. Lord is the most well-wishing friend, most dear friend of everyone and most well-wishing friend of everyone. Krishna tells in that Bhagavad Gita verse. But then I was thinking how again here we see Lord Krishna is glorifying his devotee even more than himself. Even though there are so many synonyms for word friend in Sanskrit, and Krishna tells he is Suhrit. One of the important verses of Gita, Suhritam Sarvabhutanam, he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities. He said, I am Suhrit. But to King Muchukunda, his devotee is telling, you are Surhittamaha. Surhittamaha. So even one more adjective to Surhit he is using. We know in Sanskrit there is like comparative, superlative. We have knowledge, more confidential knowledge, most confidential knowledge. Gyan, Guhyatara Gyan and Guhyatama Gyan. Ninth chapter is called Guhyatama Gyan, most confidential knowledge. So he is telling, you are Surhittamaha. The most dear friend of, most dear well-wishing friend of all living entities. So he's glorifying Muchukunda even one level higher than what he did himself, for himself in Bhagavad Gita. And basically in the purport, Prabhupada disciples writes, Lord Krishna and his pure devotees work together to rescue the fallen souls from the ocean of illusion. This is the real purport of Krishna consciousness movement. So basically this purport, they are trying to say that preaching is the essence, which Prabhupada said. I'll just like to read something from 2nd canto, 9th chapter. In the purport, Prabhupada writes something which is very similar to what we see in this purport, how Lord Krishna and his devotees work together for this mission of preaching and rescuing the fallen souls. Prabhupada writes a very nice translation to 2.9.19. Thus being very much satisfied with Brahma, Lord shook hands with Brahma and slightly smilingly addressed him thus. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, the Lord is very much anxious to get back his parts and parcels as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyone therefore preaching the mission of the Lord in the line of Brahma Sampradaya is always dear to the Lord. And Lord, being satisfied with such a preacher of the authorized bhakti cult, shakes hands with him in great satisfaction. In the same chapter, later purport, he writes, the material universe is thus created and annihilated by the will of the Lord. It is created to give the conditioned souls a chance to act, to return home back to Godhead. And servants like Brahmaji, Naradji, Vyasadi and their company become busy with the same purpose of the Lord, to reclaim the conditioned souls from the field of sense gratification, return them back to Godhead. I'll just make one more last point. Now soon Diwali is coming, and in Ramayana we see Gaurang Prabhu was making this nice point, how Lord taking help of his devotees for this preaching mission. He was telling how Lord Ram is all powerful actually. So he need not have taken help of Sugriva actually for this mission. He could have done himself alone also. But then for certain tasks actually in this material world, Lord shows that he needs help. Especially when it comes to delivering the jivas, he needs help and depends on others. And that's why those who preach are most dear to Lord Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya also made a similar point that he has so many fruits of love of Godhead to distribute, and he needs others to help him in his mission, in serving. And one Prabhupada disciple was telling how Krishna, our Supreme Father, he becomes very happy and pleased by seeing one brother helping another brother to come out of this material world. So I think these are the few thoughts I wanted to share. I'll seek forgiveness if I spoke anything wrong or inappropriate. Any comments or criticisms are welcome. Whatever I spoke. Tomorrow, very nice pastime is starting of Srimati Rukmini Devi Ji. Next three chapters are on that. So all of you are invited to please come again for tomorrow's class. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.